This is the Sunday Catholic Word, a production of Catholic Answers, the only podcast to look at the Sunday Mass readings from an apologetics perspective.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Sunday Catholic Word, a podcast where we reflect on the upcoming Sunday Mass readings and pick out the details that are relevant for explaining and defending our Catholic faith. I'm Carlo Broussard, staff apologist and speaker for Catholic Answers, and the host for this podcast. In this episode, we're going to focus on one detail that arises from the gospel reading for this upcoming Sunday Mass taken from Matthew chapter 21, verses 33 through 43. And that one detail is Jesus as the cornerstone. Now, the irrelevant apologetical topic that comes to the fore is Peter and the papacy. But the question of concern is whether the metaphor of the cornerstone applied to Jesus in this upcoming Sunday's gospel reading excludes Peter being the rock upon which Christ promises to build his church in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. So let's start with what Jesus says in the gospel there in verse 42. Have you never read in the scriptures, the very stone which the builders rejected has become the cornerstone? This was the Lord's doing, and it's marvelous in our eyes. Now, some Protestants appeal to this passage as evidence that Peter is not the rock upon which Christ promises to build his church in Matthew 16, 18. If Jesus is the cornerstone, so it's argued, then Peter can't be the rock. And of course, this is an objection against a Catholic's appeal to Matthew 16, 18 as scriptural evidence for Peter being the first pope, and for the papacy itself. Now, the answer I'm going to give here in response to this objection comes from my books, Meeting the Protestant Challenge and Meeting the Protestant Response. And I think we can start off by saying this argument commits what philosophers call a non sequitur. That is, in Latin, it doesn't follow. Just because the foundation metaphor is used for Jesus in one passage, it doesn't follow that the metaphor foundation cannot be used for Peter in other passages. And so now we'll give some reasons why that's the case. Consider that in the Bible, metaphors and symbols are often used in more than one way. For example, in Matthew 16, 18, Jesus says he's the builder. Yet in 1 Corinthians 3:11, Paul tells us that ministers are builders as well. Paul writes, like a skilled master builder, I have laid a foundation, and another man is building upon it. Let each man take care how he builds upon it. That's in verse 10 of 1 Corinthians 3. Is Paul wrong for saying that he and other ministers build up the church when elsewhere Jesus says that he's the one who will build his church? If we were to follow the logic of the objection, then we'd have to say yes, since the principle of the objection is that whatever metaphor is applied to Jesus in a unique way cannot be applied to anyone else. Remember, metaphor foundation applied to Jesus, he's the cornerstone, therefore Peter cannot be the rock. Metaphor foundation cannot be applied to Peter. Now, other examples abound. We read that Jesus is the living stone rejected by men, 1 Peter 2:4, but yet the next verse says that Christians are living stones built into a spiritual house in 1 Peter 2:5. Jesus says he's the good shepherd, John 10:11. Yet he makes Peter the shepherd of his flock on earth by telling him to tend his sheep in John 21:15 through 17. Jesus calls himself the light of the world in John 9:5. But this doesn't stop him from teaching that Christians are the light of the world as well in Matthew 5:14. If we were to apply the same strict logic of the counter under consideration in these instances, we would have to say that Peter is wrong for teaching that Christians are stones and that Jesus is confused about who's supposed to be shepherding and shining light in the world. But no Christian draws these conclusions. We recognize that metaphors can have layers of meaning and can be used in different ways according to their context. So that's one reason why the conclusion, Peter is not the rock, doesn't follow from the premise that Jesus is the cornerstone. Metaphors and symbols are used in different ways. Now, another reason is that we can shift our focus to the foundation metaphor itself, right? The Bible depicts the foundation of the church in a variety of ways. So not only do you have metaphors and symbols being used in different ways, but the foundation metaphor itself is used in different ways. In 1 Corinthians 3:11, Paul says that Christ is the one foundation. But yet, in Ephesians 2:20, he also identifies apostles and prophets as the foundation of the church. He writes, "You are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone." Paul's reference to the prophets likely refers to those of the New Testament age, and this is made clear by Paul's other two references to such prophets in Ephesians 3:5 and 4:11. So he's not referring to Old Testament prophets. And so Paul doesn't see any contradiction between Jesus being the foundation in one sense and the apostles and prophets being the foundation in another. John likewise doesn't see a contradiction. In Revelation 21:14, when he described the foundation of the heavenly city of Jerusalem as having 12 stones with the apostles' names inscribed upon each one of them. And as we saw above, Peter doesn't see a contradiction in Christ being the living stone and Christians being living stones. And so the argument would go as follows. If neither Paul, Peter, nor John saw a contradiction between Jesus being the foundation of the church and at the same time, others being the foundation of the church? Well, why should we say there's a contradiction between Jesus and Peter both being the foundation of the church, but just in different respects? That the metaphor of being the foundation of the church can be used in various ways should impress upon us the importance of considering carefully what Jesus says to Peter about being the rock of the church. So again, just because Jesus is cornerstone of the church, just because the foundation metaphor is applied to Jesus, it doesn't follow that Peter cannot have the metaphor, the foundational metaphor applied to him. Now, with all of this said, it's important to note that the roles that Christians share with Jesus, living stones, builders, shepherding, being the light of the world, do not take away from Jesus. Christians are said to have such roles only in as much as they are in Christ. Christians merely participate in these roles that Christ possesses in full. Perhaps one example will help. We're told in 1 Timothy 2:5 that Jesus is our one mediator. But yet Paul exhorts Christians to intercede or mediate for one another in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, just a few verses before verse 5. And he himself practices intercessory prayer in Philippians 1:4. Such Christian mediation doesn't take away from the unique role of Christ as mediator. The prayers of Christians are efficacious only in as much as they are in Christ as members of his mystic body, according to 1 Corinthians 12:12-13. The same principle can be applied to Peter's role of being the rock of the church. When at the same time we say Jesus is the cornerstone, Peter's rockness doesn't rob Jesus of his glory as the cornerstone. Peter is rock or foundation only in as much as Christ grafts Peter into himself, delegating a role to Peter in his own, you might say, image and likeness. Now, some Protestants might object with the appeal to Jesus as the cornerstone, but with a bit more precision. It's argued that whenever Peter is acknowledged to be a foundation stone, like in Ephesians 2:20 and Revelation 21:14, he's never distinguished from the other apostles, like Jesus is. The late Norman Geisler and Ralph McKenzie make this argument this way in their book, Roman Catholics and Evangelicals, Arguments and Disagreements, on page 208. They write this, "The only one who was given a place of uniqueness or prominence was Christ, the capstone. Indeed, Peter himself referred to Christ as the cornerstone of the church in 1 Peter 2:7, and the rest of believers as living stones in verse 4, in the superstructure of the church." So again, notice what they're pointing out here is the distinction that Peter makes between Christ and others. So they continue to write, "Peter gives no indication that he was given a special place of prominence in the foundation of the church above the rest of the apostles and below Christ. He's just one stone along with the other 11 apostles, And they cite Ephesians 2:20 here. So we can, I think we can summarize Geisler and McKenzie's argument like this. I think this is a fair summary. Premise one, if Peter were the rock of Matthew 16:18, that is the foundation of the church, then he would have been distinguished from the other apostles as an apostolic foundation, like Jesus was. Premise two, but Peter never was distinguished from the other apostles as an apostolic foundation. Therefore, the conclusion, Peter was not the rock of Matthew 16:18. That seems to be what Geisler and McKenzie are arguing, a basic modus tollens argument. Now, my first response is similar to that as before. Remember, metaphors are used differently in different places. This being the case, we have to look at how the metaphor is being used. In Matthew 21, which is Jesus being referred to as the cornerstone, Jesus is being highlighted as the ultimate foundation. But this, again, doesn't mean that Peter cannot be foundation in some other sense, just as all the apostles are the foundation of the church in a sense that's different than how Jesus is the foundation. And secondly, to say that Peter is never distinguished from the other apostles as an apostolic foundation of the church is simply to beg the question against the Catholic who appeals to Matthew 16:18 as evidence that Peter is the rock. Peter wouldn't be distinguished, wouldn't be an apostolic, excuse me, Peter wouldn't be a distinguished apostolic foundation if and only if Peter is not the rock in Matthew 16:18. For if Peter were the rock in Matthew 16:18, then he would be distinguished, a distinguished apostolic foundation, because it would be Peter alone to whom Jesus makes the promise. Peter, you know, if we concede that Jesus is speaking to Peter and saying, "You are the rock, and upon this rock I will build my church," Jesus never says that to any of the other apostles. So if Peter is the rock, well, then he would be a distinguished apostolic foundation. But whether Peter is the rock is precisely what is at debate here. So the objection assumes to be true what it's trying to prove, that Peter is not a distinguished apostolic foundation. For this reason, Geisler and McKenzie argument fails, in my estimation. Well, my friends, that does it for this episode of the Sunday Catholic Word. This upcoming 27th Sunday of Ordinary Time, Year A, provides us with really one apologetical topic, Peter and the papacy. So there's only one, but it's an important one that needs to be discussed. As always, I want to thank you for subscribing to the podcast, and please be sure to tell your friends about it and invite them to subscribe as well at SundayCatholicWord.com. Also, if you're interested in getting some cool mugs and stickers with my logo, Mr. Sunday Podcast, you can go to shop.catholic.com. Friends, I hope you have a blessed 27th Sunday of Ordinary Time. Enjoy your day with the Lord.
Thank you for listening to the Sunday Catholic Word. Find more great shows by visiting CatholicAnswersPodcasts.com or just search for Catholic Answers wherever you listen to podcasts.